Good morning. Scripture this morning is going to be 2 Corinthians 5, 6, yeah, sorry, 16 through 21. Would you please stand for the reading of God's Word? So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation is come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become righteous, become the righteousness of God. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for a beautiful day, and it's great to be in your house, Lord. Father, please open our hearts and our minds to the message you have given us this morning, or that Pastor Bob is going to give to us this morning. Help us to use that in our daily lives. It's in your Son's holy name that I pray. Amen.
I was talking with one of the individuals in my community, actually my banker, and I said to her this week, get this over here, I said to her this week, I haven't seen your Volkswagens. She had the new Beetle, I think that came out in 2010, I think there was a run on that one, they no longer manufacture it. So I said, I haven't seen your Beetle. She said, well, she said, I was in an accident. She said, a fella went through traffic signal, hit me broadside. I said, were you okay? She said, oh yeah. She said, actually, there wasn't much damage to the automobile at all. She said, but the insurance company totaled it. And she said, you know, where I come from, she's from the Ukraine. She said, in the country I come from, they would have fixed that car. I said, I know. I said, it's sort of disappointing. I recognize that. I said, I'm glad you're well. So I thought about that little conversation, and I thought about the fact that we live in a period of time of basically obsolescence, things being manufactured that have a short lifespan. When it comes to automobiles, because that obsolescence involves a number of products, but focusing on automobiles, they're made basically anymore to self-destruct over a short period of time. Usually within 10 to 15 years, the various components will fail. And repair costs tend to be quite high, and it's sort of, it motivates people to go buy something new. In fact, over 3,000 parts become obsolete with any particular model on an annual basis, which actually shifts a person to look for another disposable car. manufacturers are increasingly designing parts to fail, made of plastic, made of ceramic material or whatever. And so there's also a problem with spare parts, because between 7 and 10 years, parts are made for a particular car model and then no longer. So you find it hard to get parts. Sometimes parts have to come from some other place in the world where the quality control is not as good as what it would be if it was manufactured, those parts were manufactured here. So basically, obsolescence has overtaken us. It forces many of us to go for the latest model, something newer, something flashier, something that has more bells and whistles to it. Obviously, the price tag is a big one. Some people will choose to buy a new car, keep it until the warranty runs out, or just before it runs out, and then trade it in for something else. I had an uncle that did that. He was a Chevy guy, and he always had a brand new car, which drove my father sort of wacky, because my dad was the kind of guy, let's fix it until it can't be fixed anymore, you know. God doesn't treat us that way. God doesn't, he knows we're broken people. He knows the human race is a wreck. He knows that sin has taken its toll on the average individual. We're shattered, and Satan has done a job on so many people. But God doesn't cast us aside and say, you're worthless. He doesn't send us to the scrap heap or to the salvage yard. He does something amazingly different. He chooses to redeem us. He chooses to change us from within. He chooses to adopt us into his family, as broken and as shattered as we are. He chooses not to cast us aside as refuse, but to draw us to himself, to love us, and to let us know that he died on the cross in order that we could be with him someday in heaven. That's the kind of Lord we have. He looks out over this broken human race, and he said, I'd like for you all to be in heaven with me. If you would just open your heart to me, allow me to come into your life, trust me that what I did on the cross was sufficient to purchase your salvation, believe that I rose again from the dead, allow me to come into your life, and you're mine now, and I will do some amazing things in your life. So our text this morning reads this way. Well, one verse, the primary verse. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You, my brother and sister, are God's new creation. You're not becoming God's new creation. You are God's new creation. Well, what does that mean? And I thought to myself, are there some kind of little snippets of information in this whole chapter that might be able to give us a clue as to what it means to be a new creation? Basically, it has to do with the transformation of our desires from self-centeredness to being Christ-centered. But there's specifics in here, in this chapter, and I found five of them. What is it that God has done in order to transform us from within? He has helped us to understand that suffering has a purpose, and that death we should not fear. We presently, Paul states here, presently we're in a tent. It's a perishable one. It's this body that each one of us have right now. And we're not always going to have it. We're not invincible. Well, until God calls us home, we might be. But we're in a temporal body, and our eternal home awaits us. Paul says in Romans 8 and verse 18, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. So one of the things that God has done in helping us to understand what being a new creation is all about is helping us to understand that this life is not all there is, that we're passing through, we're pilgrims. This body, we can do our best to take our vitamins and treat it well, to exercise, to not do certain things, to do other things that help our bodies to be strong and vibrant and have some measure of longevity to it. But by and large, in the final analysis, we will cast this body off one day. We will be present with the Lord immediately, and we will be given a new body. The final phase of our redemption will take place. When the rapture occurs, the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who may still be alive here will get a new body, okay? So we needn't fear death. It's the doorway into the next life. Don't fear it. Don't fear it. Embrace it when it comes, because the best is yet to come. But also we view life with purpose and meaning. We choose to live for the glory of God. If you are a child of God, it's not about you anymore. It's not about my selfish desires that I used to have. It's about God's purposes. We know that one day we're going to stand before the Lord. Paul says, we are going to stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ. We will give an account of how we lived our life from the moment we trusted Jesus until the moment we're called home to glory. So Paul says, you know what? Your purpose now needs to be to glorify God and not to exalt yourself. It's not about you anymore, Paul is saying. It's about Jesus. Paul stated in verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ that one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body. You see, our life is now viewed as a life of stewardship. Time, we only have so much time, so many years, so many days. Talent, how has God wired you? What gifts has God given you? What talents have come from God by his grace and substance? Is God blessing you in a way, in a monetary way that's like real generous? Or maybe you're just a really frugal person and managing your money quite well that God has given you. Then you are a good steward. Time, talent, and substance matter when it comes to following the Lord. Our purpose in life has changed. We are a new creation because we are viewing ourselves differently than we used to. For Christ's love compels us, he says, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore we've all died. The old nature has died. He died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Living life now is honoring God in whatever way we can find to do that. Our goals, our objectives, our plans are now not ours. They need to be his. What is it that God wants each one of us to embrace in these days? What are the challenges? What are the goals and objectives that, for the kingdom now, that we should be setting? Every one of us need to take that seriously, because every one of us have an impact, a circle of influence that people look to us for, to be an example, to be there for them. And we could do that for the glory of God. We need to seek Jesus, as we have in our bulletin every Sunday. We need to share his word. We need to show his love. A new view of self. No longer is it about just me. It's about him. I found a fourth thing in this passage in verse 16. Our view of Jesus Christ has changed. So now we regard, verse 16, no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way, but we do so no longer. Has your perspective of the Lord Jesus Christ changed from when you were not a believer? Mine did. Mine has. I know what I used to think. I used to think, okay, Jesus was, yeah, the Son of God. Didn't mean much of anything to me. Didn't know that there was any kind of reason to personalize that. It was just like a historical thing. Yes, Jesus is the Son of God. I could have checked that box just right. But he wasn't my personal Savior. Not at that point anyway. In fact, John, I was 17. Where are you, John? I was 17 when I accepted Jesus too. Changed my life. Turned me around 100%. The last thing I see in this passage is that we view others in different light. We see people through God's eyes now. We don't see people as stepping stones to our own personal success.
We don't see people in a critical light because of their ethnicity or their differentness from us. Not at all. We see people in a totally different way, valued, worth a lot because Jesus died for them, just like he died for us. Everyone's created in the image of God. The ravages of sin has caused some people to be a mess, but they're savable. And if you know the Lord as your personal Savior, every one of us should be praying for people that still need to come to Christ. It's not too late as long as they're breathing the breath of life. They might be a wreck right now, but God can save them. And we need to be vigilant in our prayers for lost people, because when the Holy Spirit starts to work in the heart of people that are now hardened to sin and want nothing to do with Jesus, that moment in time will come when the wall will come down and they will open their heart to him, and the Holy Spirit will do that work. He will do the evangelistic work. He will do the convicting work. It's not our job to convict somebody else of their sin. It's the Holy Spirit's job. We need to pray that the Holy Spirit would be at work. And we will see, I firmly believe, a flood of new believers come from your families if you take that seriously, to pray for the lost people in your family and to wait for the opportunity for God to work and for you to come alongside of him to encourage that relative to trust the Lord. We're God's new creation, my brothers and sisters. And God has given us the message of reconciliation. What does that mean? Reconciliation is the restoration of our relationship with God, predicated or based upon the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. What is our job? We are ministers of reconciliation. I don't mean clergymen now. I don't mean missionaries in a formal sense. I mean every one of you, my brothers and sisters, are ministers of reconciliation. We are called upon, Paul is stating it clearly here, we are called upon to tell people they can be in right relationship with God if they would open their heart to Jesus, invite him into their life. Their life would be changed. They would be immediately adopted into God's family. They would be a new creation in Christ Jesus automatically, and everything will change. Perspective will change. Viewpoint of life will change. Viewpoint of God will change. Viewpoint of self will change. Viewpoint of people will change. The change will be internal. There'll be a transformation going on inside, because when a person comes to Jesus, as you full well know, the Holy Spirit indwells that life. And then the work of sanctification, of growth, and of development spiritually will take place. All we need to do is deliver the mail. That's all we have to do. The stamp's already on the envelope. Just deliver it. Ministers of reconciliation, we are ambassadors, God's mouthpiece, in order to tell people the life that they're living doesn't have to continue that way. They can be different. They can be changed. They can be transformed. They don't have to live under the ravages of Satan's taunting or the shackles of sin any longer. It all can be broken and life can be better if they would open their heart and trust him. Are you a new creation in Christ? Are you certain of it? You sure now? Because if you're not sure, I'd like to help you, and Pastor Nelson would like to help you be sure. All right? Don't walk out of here if you're not certain if you're God's new creation. That kind of doubt has all kinds of backlash spiritually on a person. Be certain. Be certain, and you can be. You surely can be. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you came Your Son came unto his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the children of God. Father, this morning, as our heads are bowed, there could be somebody here that needs to be sure, and they're not. So, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just prompt that one or more, that they would be certain this morning that they are your child, a new creation in Christ Jesus. And if you're here and you're not certain, I'd like to pray a prayer for you. And if this resonates with you, I'd like for you to just quietly pray it along with me. Lord Jesus, I recognize that I have failed you. I am a sinner. I've broken your law many, many times. And I need, Lord, to be clean. I need to be your child. I need to be forgiven. So, Lord Jesus, here in this meeting place this morning, I open my heart to you, and I ask you to come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. Right now, Lord, I turn from my sin, and I trust you by faith to have completed the work of redemption. I add nothing to it. I accept salvation as a gift right now. If that prayer is where you're at, would you slip up your hand and let me pray for you in my closing prayer? Amen. Thank you. You may put your hand down. You prayed to trust Jesus this morning. Would you join this one by just acknowledging that, and I'll pray for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this one that has opened her heart to you and allowed you entrance into her life. Lord, we pray that the reality of that new relationship, even today, would become real. And we thank you for that day that many of us trusted you as Lord and Savior. Help us to recognize that we are your new creation. We won't be sent, Lord, to the salvage yard because of our sin. We, on the other hand, have been embraced by you and transformed by the grace of God, because you value us and you love us. To that extent, we thank you, Jesus. Thank you for these moments together. In Jesus' name, amen.